I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. As was mentioned, an invitation went out. I think it's cool because you get free coffee. That's better than Tim Horton or Starbucks. You get free coffee. But we have something even more wonderful that's free tonight. You can have the knowledge and the reality of knowing your sins are forgiven. What a marvelous thing to be able to walk down the streets of Montreal knowing I'll never come under the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, bore my sins in His own body on the tree. And you, by faith, you can have it too. But there was a message on this invitation. There are a number of Bible verses. How many of you in this room actually even have one of these? Raise your hand if you have one. Well, good. It's an invitation that's been given out. Have you received the message? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Let's sing number 4. Should have received a hymn sheet from the gentleman at the door there. Number 4, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Well, the next obvious question is, who or what is a sinner? And why do they need to be saved? And who is this man? Christ is the Savior of sinners. You boys and girls brought up in what we heard today of Christian homes. You know the answers to the questions. Christ is the answer. I believe there's a bumper sticker over there. Jesus is the answer. And He's the answer for your heart tonight. The gospel message goes out to the lost. Some of you are lost but don't know it. Some of you are lost and don't care. Tonight we pray, grace of God, you will care, you will understand that there is a God who loves you. Well, let's sing number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners.
Christ is the Savior for me. Savior for me.
last line of each verse is precious. This is the Savior for me. Not an abstract thought, but a person. Not, how do they say it, a way, a good way, but Jesus is the only way. Well, now we know what a sinner is. Me. Have you ever acknowledged that before God, my friend? That God looks down in your heart and He sees some nasty little things. And if we're not careful, the older we get, those little nasty things will come out one day. Sin. Sin lieth at the door. Let's close our eyes and pray. Because this is a gospel meeting. It's good news. We have good news for you, people of Montreal. But then I was informed that we're really not in Montreal. We're in a suburb. But Montreal will suffice. I want to thank each one of you for coming. It's a real privilege to be able to be here, to be in Montreal. The hymn sheet, or the message that was given to you folks, it says, it would be great to see you. And it is, my friend, it is so good, it is so great to see you. And the reason why it's so great to see you, my friend, is because you're still alive. You have an opportunity tonight to embrace my Savior. The hymn writer says, oh, that my Savior were your Savior too. Paul could say, men and brethren, my heart's desire before God is that Israel would be saved. And it's the desire of the brethren here in Montreal that each one in this room tonight will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and know what it is to be saved. Let's close our eyes and I'm going to ask the Lord for His help. It's His word, it will not return unto Him void. But I want it to go down deep into your soul. Realize that there is a God. Scripture says, if you don't believe there's a God, we might as well stop right now. The Scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believe that He is. Let's just close our eyes and we'll ask the Lord Jesus. Father, we come to Thee in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Heard some messages this morning or this afternoon about messages. So you might be saying to yourself, well, who is this guy standing up here? Doesn't matter who I am. I'm just a voice. I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. Jonah came into the city of Nineveh, 3 days' journey. Probably would have come into Montreal and said, oh, wow, I'm back in Nineveh. Look how huge this place is. And what if reality, my friend, there was a man up here sent from God and he says, within 40 days, Montreal will be destroyed. This island that you live on, this island that you find your security in, 40 days from now, it will be destroyed. You would have to make one of two decisions, wouldn't you? Believe the message or reject it. I wonder how many for sale signs would go up if you really believed it. 40 days and it's going to be destroyed. But you know, you don't have 40 days. You don't even have 40 minutes. You don't even have 40 seconds. Your breath is in His hand. Even tonight, He can take you home. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He has a claim on you, my friend, because of creation. He has a claim on you because of redemption. He went and sold and bought the world, sold it all and bought it. He belonged to Christ. You may not realize it. So He has every right to you. But He doesn't force Himself on you. He labors in love. One of my favorite gospel hymns that's not in this hymn sheet, the softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Tenderly Jesus is pleading. Why would you think Jesus would be pleading for your soul tonight, my friend? Because He knows the reality hell is real. Created it. Let's sing another little song. We're going to do something different. I trust you don't mind. Number 32. The way we're going to do this is this side of the room is going to sing the verses. This side of the room is going to sing the chorus. I want it to be as if you are asking you the questions, and you are giving these individuals the answer. Question is raised: what can wash away my sins? Somebody asked you that tonight in this side of the room. Could you give them an answer? Could you give them an answer of peace? Well, let's give it a try, at least just on the first verse, okay? First verse, this group, the answer over here, and then we'll sing it all together, the rest of the hymn, okay? Number 32, let's ask the question. What? One of the most vital statements in this little hymn sheet. Nothing can for sins atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay, let's sing it. Verse 3.
Nothing can for sins atone. Nothing but the blood.
Bible. Raise your hand if you have a Bible. Raise your foot if you don't. We're going to read together one verse. This way you can say you took a gospel meeting, because you're going to read one verse with me, and I understand they're making tapes or whatever, but people are going to hear your voice. We're going to read a verse in Psalm 56. Once we find it, I'm going to say, we'll say the verse on the count of three. One, two, three. That's why you go to school in kindergarten or first grade to learn how to count. It's when you come to a gospel meeting, you'll be able to apply it. Psalm 56, in the last five words of verse 9. The last five verses, words rather, start over again. The last five words of verse 9. So when I count to three, we're going to say each word, but we're going to pause just a second, not going to ramble through, because I want each one in this room to realize the truth of this verse, because I believe in this room there are some of you who honestly don't believe what this says. Okay, on the count of three, you ready? One, two, three. For God is for me. Isn't that wonderful? To think that the God of the universe, the God of creation, is for you. Isn't that marvelous? God is for me. To think of it. And we've all said it. I trust we've all said it. You really realize the truth of it? God is for you. Precious. It's for you. Well, let's turn over to a story in Mark 4. Mark 4 and verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. We've heard this afternoon, those of you who have been here, that there are going to be trials in your life. There are going to be storms that come in your life, times of testing. And sometimes the testing is so hard, so strong, we're going to ask this very question. The storms of life. What's the next verse? Verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. How many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? And how many of you sometimes feel in your life Jesus is asleep? And that's why He sends some of these trials in our life. So we would wake Him up. In essence, we don't take time to pray. We get up in the morning, we get dressed, we kiss our wife goodbye, run off to work, and we seldom take time to wake Jesus up. And so He has to send a trial into our life. He has to send a difficulty into our life. But what I want to speak about is what they say to Him. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You ready? We're all going to say that. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And that's my object tonight, my friends, to try to impress upon your heart and mind that God does indeed care if you perish. Brethren in Montreal here don't want you to perish. Pass eternally ruined into a sinner's hell. But this was the question that they asked the Lord Jesus. Count of three, let's all say it together. And try to picture ourselves in this situation with great extremity. And I'm sure they didn't say it glibly. I'm sure they didn't say it matter-of-factly. They were terrified. They were frightened. They were scared. So let's count of three. We'll say it together. kind of picture us in that situation. One, two, three. Master, carest thou not that we perish? You ever asked that question in your own heart? You ever thought, nobody really loves me? Nobody really cares about me? I don't even know why I'm here. But there is a God in heaven, my friend. A God who saw you walk into this building. We went out for a walk, and there was another couple that went out for a walk, and they were coming back, and they said, we walked right on by it. Oh, my friend, don't ever walk right on by the cross. That's the only way you're going to come into blessing, is at the foot of the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so they wake him up. He arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And that's the gospel message tonight that I seek to bring before you, that you can have this very night the very peace of God in your soul. Scripture speaks of peace with God and peace of God. That is one of the characteristics of God, the God of peace. Do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace in your home? Is your home characterized by peace? Maybe you're not from a Christian home. Maybe God in His grace has brought you in. And you come from a house that's nothing but conflict. Or you live by yourself and there's nobody there. No one to come home to. No one to come home to and say, I love you. I care. How was your day? What's happening? But here is a God in heaven who will stand up tonight and have stood up, and He presented a man who can still the water. How is it that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, can still the waters? As prophetically it says in Genesis 1, let all the waters of the earth be gathered together into one place. Then Isaiah tells us where that is. Who hath measured the water in the hollow of His hand? The Lord Jesus Christ bore the judgment of God so He could say to you this evening, peace, be still. Isn't that wonderful? Do you have peace in your soul tonight? Are you anxious? Are you troubled? I think in John, the Lord appears to His own, and He says, why are you so troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Is there anybody here tonight troubled? Here the Lord Jesus would simply say, peace, be still. There on the cross, the Lord Jesus bore the judgment of God for you, for me. Christ is the Savior of sinners, redeemed. Oh, He shed His blood, paid the ransom. How many of you kids know what a ransom is? You know what a ransom is? It's a sum of money. They tell me in the old days when the pirates ruled the seas, they would capture a ship. And if there was a pretty lady on it, they would hold that lady captive until her father gave them money. The Lord Jesus doesn't want to give you money. He wants to give you life. He said, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. He wants you to have life. Do you have life tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life that you might have life. You might have it more abundantly. Turn over to a verse in the 142nd Psalm, I believe it is. I'm going to read a verse, and I want it to search our hearts, and I want us to be honest with ourselves. This is a verse that is precious to me because it's a verse that my mother got saved on. She really felt the truth of this. And I wonder if there's somebody here, a young person, We are to replay the conference since Friday night. Did you ever smile? Was there ever a smile on your face? Did your eye ever twinkle? Did you even give any semblance that you're happy? Well, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, anything but you're happy. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. And here is a person, Psalm 142, verse 3, it says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within. Well, tonight, if there's one in this room, and you find yourself in this condition, your spirit is so overwhelmed, you don't know what to do. You're going to try drugs, you're going to try anything and everything because there's no use. Your spirit is so overwhelmed, you want to give up. What does he do? He realizes that God knows his pathway. That's a solemn thing and yet a precious thing to realize, my friend, that no matter what we think of our present situation, God looks down and he knows all about it. He knows everything about your pathway. And he's going to come in and he's going to present to you a Savior. But we get even more depressed. Verse 4, Psalm 142, 4. I looked on my right hand. Let's do that. Everybody sitting here, look at the person on your right hand. You ever look to somebody and they're a disappointment? Nothing, they didn't seem to be there for you. This person looked, and there was no man. There was no man. And that's a precious expression, no man. Because there was a lady that was brought before the Lord Jesus, and he says, who is he that condemneth thee? She says, no man. Isn't that wonderful? No man. She says, neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. Go and sin no more. But here, this person is really down. There was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And this is the part that slew my mother. She came to realize in her own life, her own situation, her own job, her own family, her own relationships with the neighborhood, no one, no man cared for my soul. And when you realize that, when you realize the truth of that, the utter shock, if you would, to realize, no man, nobody cares about me. Is that your thought tonight? Is there somebody in this room who really, honestly, truly feels, nobody cares about me? Nobody cares for my soul? What does the answer? I cried unto thee, O Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord. That's the answer. The answer. The very one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. The very one who poured out his soul unto death because he values and loves your soul. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for... what was that word?
Me.
Me, all right. Christ is the Savior for me. Are you happy about it? It should be the most thrilling thing in your life to realize there's a God in heaven who not only loves me, but he's proven his love, and now I have a Savior, and I can call him mine. And I can walk out of this room rejoicing that all my sins are gone. But you know, if your sins are not gone, my friend, they become a burden. They become heavy on your shoulders. And you do get downcast. You get distressed. You get frustrated. You get to the point where nothing satisfies. Nothing satisfies. Until you get to the realization of the Lord. Who is this Lord? God's Son. God manifest in flesh. Became a man in order to redeem you. redeem you. It's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? You're Brother Hayhoe, aren't you? You know Brother Rusink here? If his life was put up for a ransom, how much would you be willing to pay for him? Here, the Lord Jesus, the precious value of your soul, he says the death of the saints is precious in his sight. And he would give his own life to redeem Brother Hayhoe and Brother Rusink. Think of that. But he did. For you. For me. I cry it unto thee, O Lord. Let's turn over to John 20. John 20. I am really thankful and glad you're here tonight. The Lord Jesus wants you to be part of His bride. Isn't that wonderful? He wants you to be part of His body. He wants you to be part of His building. He wants you. To me, that's the most precious thing. When I was growing up, nobody wanted me. I wasn't good enough to play baseball. I wasn't good enough to play basketball. Yeah, but when I started to grow up, things changed. You know, it's tough when they're playing baseball or soccer or something and pick up sides, and you're the last guy to be picked. Because they don't want you. You're no good. You're an automatic strikeout. But Jesus, He doesn't want you to strike out. We don't want you to strike out, my friend. The Lord Jesus wants you to realize that He loved you. He died on the cross. He paid the ransom. Find that in Timothy. The ransom has been paid. He wants to save you. Carest thou not that we perish? Yes, He does. I wonder if we could be real and honest with ourselves tonight. How many on this side of the room want to perish? How many on this side of the room want to perish? Perish. I didn't say die. Perish. Death is just the beginning. God says it is appointed unto men once to die. But after death, the judgment. Perish. Carest thou not? Yes, He does care. He does not want you to perish. We don't want you to perish. There's a hymn here, number, I think it's 18. Let's just sing number 18, just to kind of wake you up. Number 18, the third verse says, why perish then, ye careless ones? Why slight the gracious call? Why turn from Him whose words proclaim eternal life? My friend, you're lost. You need a Savior. There is a Savior. My Savior. And many in this room, Savior. But the little hymn says, why perish then? Oh, there's no reason anybody in this room. If you came into this room lost, you're perishing. There's no reason nobody should leave this room lost. Lost. Let's sing number 18. Perhaps somebody could start it for us.
Thank you.
perish then, ye careless one? Why slight the gracious call? Why turn from him whose words are pure, claim eternal life to all? Oh, my friend, there's no need for you to perish. He calmed the storm there at the cross. The judgment of God has fallen. And now he could proclaim peace. 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 Scripture says peace then at such a time. Tonight you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace. Isn't that wonderful? Peace. We find when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples were afraid. They locked the doors. They wouldn't let him in. Oh, and I fear tonight, my friend, there's somebody in this room has locked their heart's door. You've locked your door. You won't let them in. You know why you should, but for some reason there's a wall, and you will not let them in. So what does he do? Walks through the door. Can't stop him. And so there he is. And he says, peace. My friend, the God of this world has blinded your eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel which shines in the face of Jesus Christ would indeed shine into your heart, and you would throw open the door. Throw open the door and be saved. Figured out why they have this one here, because it's very difficult to see the clock on the wall. But I realize we're almost out of time. My friend, there's one in this room tonight. Doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are running out of time. You are running out of time. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. 40 days and Montreal will be destroyed. Either believe the message, you do something about it, or you reject the message. But if indeed Mount Royal, I understand, is a volcano, if that volcano becomes active and alive and erupts and this whole island is underneath ash, whose fault is it? At least in this room. Whose fault would it be? Yours. Because you had the warning, flee from the wrath to come. One of the things we had in Richmond and Port Huron and Vacation Bible School was the subject of deliverance. And it's precious, my friend, as a Christian, we find that we've been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from this present evil world. And we've been delivered from the fear of death. Oh, my friend, tonight, there's no need for you to perish. There's no need for you to perish. Let's sing in closing, Just As I Am. I know you're over wanting to get to that ice rink and the sing. Realize, you may not make it. Life at best is very brief. Just as I am. Does anybody know what number that is?
Number 12.
Thank you, thank you. Just as I am. The first, third, and fifth verses. Someone start it, please. And may it really be the prayer of each one in this room who knows the Lord as their Savior, if you're lost in this room, that you would come just as you are. Lost, guilty, hopeless. Scripture says, repent. Believe the message. Let's sing Just As I Am. First, third, and last verses.
Just as I am without.
is wonderful in this fifth verse. Just as I am, thy love I own has broken every barrier down. Let me ask you very politely, very lovingly, my friend, what is the barrier that is keeping you from Christ? What is the barrier that is so valuable to you, that is so precious in your eyes, that you refuse to come to Christ? This hymn writer said, the barrier's gone. Wonderful, the barrier's gone. She's saved. Are you saved tonight? Let's be real. Let's be honest. That's what the gospel message is. It's the honesty of the heart of God and His love for you. Oh, may the Spirit of God break that barrier down. Break whatever that wall is that's keeping you from coming to the Savior. Have you come? Let's close our eyes and we'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing.